This episode of 11 Point Color has been brought to you by the Muppets World.
Hi, hello world! I am Kermit the Frog! Hey! I fool you! I am not Kermit! But soon, the whole world will believe I am. As soon as I put my evil plans into action, I am Constantine!
Color, hosted by J.D. Frog Scout Hansel.
Hooray! They did a sequel, and it was really good! Welcome back to 11PC, I'm your host J.D. Hansel, and this is the 48th episode of 11 Point Color. This is such an exciting time for all of us, and it's been such a busy time for me that I haven't gotten around to making any podcast episodes or videos lately, but who cares? There has been so much Muppet stuff going on lately, I can't keep track of it all. It's really great. I want to do something kind of different during Henson History this week because I noticed that it's been 10 years now since Disney bought the Muppets. And with the release of the new movie, I thought it would be nice to do a little recap of what the Muppets have done since they were purchased by Disney. And speaking of recaps, you may have noticed that over at MuppetHub.com, which is the website for this show, I've been producing some videos, many of which are what I call Muppdates. In these Muppdates, I basically sum up all of the Muppety news that's happened over the past month or so, making it a great way to find out about all the Muppet news you may have missed. Aside from that, I've been working on adding to Muppet Hub's Muppetology resources, and I also made the first episode of Puppet Rants, which is something I wanted to start back in early autumn, and I tried to make the first episode in November, but that didn't happen. The first episode ended up coming out in February, and it was basically just my puppet doppelganger ranting about a movie. This isn't necessarily related to the Muppets, but it's pretty much providing thoughtful entertainment through puppetry in a way that takes advantage of YouTube as a medium, so I think it is relevant to what Muppet Hub is about. So if you haven't checked out what I have at MuppetHub.com, please do and like it on Facebook at Facebook.com/JD11PC. That's JD11PC. You can also follow me on Twitter at JD11PC, and you cannot find the show on Instagram because what could a podcast do on Instagram other than post pictures of the microphone? So to contact me, you can email JD11PC@gmail.com. or fill out the little contact form on the contact page on MuppetHub.com. That would probably be even better because I would be more likely to get it that way, I think. With housekeeping out of the way, let's move right along to trivia time. Okay, how many of you have already purchased the soundtrack for Muppets Most Wanted? Show of hands? Okay, well, I've already purchased mine. I think this soundtrack has some of the best songs that the Muppets have done since the 80s. At no time during my lifetime have the Muppets recorded a more Muppetational song than the opening number to Muppets Most Wanted. Brett McKenzie has definitely outdone himself, but how many of you know that the scores for the new Muppet movie and its prequel were written by Christoph Beck? This leads us to this week's trivia question, which is, which of the following Muppet movie soundtracks did not come with a song from the film score? A. The Muppet Movie. B. The Great Muppet Caper. C. Muppet Christmas Carol. D. Muppet Treasure Island. Or E. The Muppets. The correct answer is E. The soundtrack for The Muppets did not feature any of the Christoph Beck score for the film, but somebody leaked the score online, so some Muppet fans have it. In fact, you're hearing it right now, but now it's going to fade out.
Studies in Henson History.
When talking about the Muppets and their relationship with Disney, one has to start by talking about Michael Eisner. Yeah, I know, but it's important, so here we go. Once upon a time in the 1970s, Jim Henson was trying to sell The Muppet Show. He wasn't having much success, nobody wanted to buy it. However, Michael Eisner, who was working for ABC at the time, was interested. He gave Jim Henson the opportunity to make a pilot, and that pilot eventually became The Muppets Valentine Show. It did not sell the show, and he didn't get to make it with ABC. He didn't get to make it for a little while longer, actually, but he did get to make The Muppet Show. That's the important thing. When Jim Henson did make The Muppet Show, though, it became very, very popular, the most popular show in the world, and The Muppets was arguably more successful than Disney. That didn't last too long, though, because in the late 80s, Jim Henson was interested in selling The Muppets to Disney. By that time, the head of Disney was Michael Eisner. This is some pretty basic stuff. I know it's Muppetology 101, I don't even need a script for this, but I think it's still important. Now, Jim Henson really did think that he was going to sign the Muppets over to Disney in the year 1990. In fact, he was going to do it the month that he died. The plans all fell through. Michael Eisner did try to get Jim Henson's family to sign the deal. It just did not work out until the Henson Company was really, really desperate. And they eventually did sign over the Muppets to Disney, but not until 2004. And now I'm going to read a bit from the Muppet Wiki. The Walt Disney Company and the Jim Henson Company announced on February 17, 2004, that they had entered into an agreement under which Disney would acquire the Muppets and Bear in the Big Blue House properties from Henson. The parties signed a binding purchase agreement, with the transaction closing in April 2004 after receiving the necessary regulatory clearances. The transaction included all Muppet assets, including the Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, Fozzie Bear, Gonzo and Animal characters, the Muppet Film and Television Library, and all associated copyrights and trademarks, as well as the Bear in the Big Blue House characters, television library, copyrights, and trademarks. The transaction did not include the Sesame Street characters, which are separately owned by Sesame Workshop, nor did it include Fraggle Rock and other franchises, which the Jim Henson Company retained. The deal also included non-exclusive production and consulting agreements under which Henson would develop potential new programming featuring the Muppets and Bear in the Big Blue House for Disney. Sesame Workshop has permission from Disney to use old Kermit segments from Sesame Street in new DVD releases and online. Okay, starting right now, I'm not quoting the Muppet Wiki word for word, but I'm still using it as my source and my reference. Since February of 2006, Puppet Heap has been designing the puppets for the Muppets, not the Jim Henson Company. Now, when Disney first bought the Muppets, they had to figure out, what are they going to do with the Muppets? The Jim Henson Company did have a few ideas for specials, like Halloween specials and things, but what they did was they released a few of the seasons of The Muppet Show on DVD, and they also made The Muppets Wizard of Oz, a television movie that had been in development already. As you know, The Muppets Wizard of Oz was not great. There was a little bit of merchandise, not too much. Now, the other thing here that the Muppet Wiki does not mention, but I think is kind of important to address, is that they did try and promote the Muppets' 50th anniversary. And I did do a whole episode about anniversaries. You can find out more about that if you go find that episode at MuppetHub.com. But basically, they released a whole bunch of the movies out on DVD, the ones that they owned and had made at the time, and they also tried to send Kermit on a world tour, but he didn't get very far. The Muppets did have their website redesigned. I remember thinking that was pretty cool when I was young. But aside from that, they also did the Muppet Mobile Lab for a while in Disneyland starting in February of 2007. In 2008, Disney tried to promote the Muppets to their teenage audience by making Disney Channel specials. These were known as Studio DC Almost Live. They did one hosted by Dylan and Cole Sprouse that premiered in August of 2008, and in October, there was one hosted by Selena Gomez. Now, these were pretty terrible. However, these were redeemed by A Muppet's Christmas Letters to Santa, which was a Christmas special that they did for NBC, not ABC, surprisingly, that premiered December 17th of 2008. That one, according to a lot of Muppet fans, is actually pretty good. This special also gave the Muppets a chance to go around on different talk shows and late night shows and promote stuff again, which is always fun. This is also the year that the Muppet Whatnot Workshop opened over at FAO Schwarz. So the Muppets were doing some successful things, but I don't think any of them were as successful as the YouTube videos that they started to make. Beaker's Ode to Joy premiered July 16th in 2008. This would eventually lead to a lot more YouTube videos, some of which became really popular, especially Bohemian Rhapsody, which came out, interestingly enough, on November 23rd, 2009. This, of course, was a huge success, big hit, went viral. I had kids at my school talking about it who normally never talked about the Muppets. It was really something special. 2009 was also the year that the Muppets appeared at the D23 Expo in California, and was the year when they did the Give a Day, Get a Disney Day campaign. Now, you might be asking, why is Disney trying to promote the Muppets if they're not working on any big new projects? Well, aside from the books that they had been releasing, written by Kermit and Miss Piggy and Pepe, the big project that they were working on was a little movie called The Muppets. This was Jason Segel's brainchild that he had presented to Disney himself because he just wanted to see The Muppets get popular again.
And I think they were worried a little that I was doing it with a sense of irony. Yeah. And then it doesn't take long, you can see the way I'm talking to you about it now, to see that I'm a Muppets purist. I love them, and I just would want them back in our lives so badly.
But were they nervous when you handed them the script? Only because I know Disney is like, if anybody does even a joke about Mickey or uses them in any kind of, you know, non-G-rated way.
Sure.
I mean, the lawyers, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, they come
yeah,
down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Muppets, you know, people forget because they've grown up in recent years with a more watered-down version of the Muppets, but they were subversive when they first started. The Muppet Show pilot was called Muppet Sex and Violence.
Oh, is that right?
That's the truth.
Okay.
And they were all over the first season of Saturday Night Live, and part of the fun of being a kid and watching the Muppets with your parents is that you felt like you were watching something a little naughty.
Yeah,
like a little bit dangerous. It was this controlled chaos that could bubble over. And you see this movie and it feels like that, but you just walk out with such a smile on your face.
And the funny thing about the movie made me laugh is a Muppet is your brother.
Yes.
But they don't really explain how that happened.
We just decided that people will go with it.
Yeah.
There's a great joke in the Great Muppet Caper where inexplicably Kermit the Frog and Fozzie Bear are playing identical twins.
Right.
Okay. And they never explain that either.
Well, okay.
People keep confusing them for each other.
Yeah.
It's very Muppety.
And a great cast. Tell people who's in it.
Yeah. Well, there's the lovely Amy Adams.
Oh yeah.
I wrote the part for Amy Adams, and I didn't know if she would do the movie, so Kermit and I made a DVD begging her to do the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad she chose to do it because it would have been, like, incriminating evidence. It's really, like, pandering and weird.
So, 2010 was the year that we got to watch Disney promote the Muppets. How did they do this? They put the Muppets in a Disney World parade, they put them in Extreme Home Makeover Muppet Edition, they also put them in the Muppets Kitchen with Cat Cora. I'm still not entirely sure why they did that. Aside from that, we were just watching the Muppet News as the Muppet movie was being made all throughout 2010 and 2011. 2011 is when the Muppet Renaissance started. Journalists started doing stories on the Muppets and their rise back to fame after a long time of no one paying any attention to them. We got to meet Walter, which was born in Jason Segel's brain. Of course, he'd like to say a lot of things were born in his brain, but anyway. We got to listen to a new Muppet album because they made the Green Album in August. And then finally, the Muppets premiered on November 23rd, 2011. Because I need to have an edit point right here, I'm going to throw in a little clip from the Muppets.
Why are there such great deals on our hotel rooms? And continental breakfast is free.
Breakfast is free.
HBO in every room. And free gas if you check in afternoon. Parking for cars, not RVs. A wedding chapel is 24 hours. No marriage certificate is needed.
No marriage certificate is needed.
We're glad you found it. A Chulo Casino. The owners,
the Muppets,
and me.
2012 was the year when The Muppets was released in a lot of other countries outside of the United States. Because of this, there was more promotion for The Muppets, especially because the DVD release was in March in the United States. The Muppets attended the Oscars in 2012 and actually received their first Oscar for the song Man or Muppet. The Muppets also received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. There were a few notable big events that The Muppets took part in, one of which is Jim Henson's Musical World. Jim Henson's Musical World was a great big show they did at Carnegie Hall, which not only featured the Muppets, but it also had the Sesame Street Muppets and the Fraggle Rock Muppets and characters from Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. It also featured the human cast members of Sesame Street and Paul Williams and was hosted by John Tartaglia, who actually came up with the idea for the show. Another big event that the Muppets were a part of was the Muppets All-Star Comedy Gala, which they did in Montreal, Canada in December. December of 2012 was also the time when we got to hear a new Muppets song, All I Need Is Love, with CeeLo Green. In 2013, we already knew that the Muppets were working on Muppets Most Wanted, so Disney kinda had to keep the promotion going at least a little bit. Once again, Disney tried to reach their Disney Channel audience and put the Muppets on Good Luck Charlie. Later, Miss Piggy, Gobo Fraggle, Oscar the Grouch, Carol Spinney, Eric Jacobson, and John Tartaglia all appeared at the Museum of the Moving Image to be a part of the big announcement that the Jim Henson Legacy had donated almost 400 artifacts to the Museum of the Moving Image for a permanent gallery devoted to Jim Henson, according to the Muppet Wiki. Also, 2013 was when the Muppet Movie soundtrack was finally re-released on CD, as well as the Muppet Movie being released on Blu-ray, and Muppet Treasure Island and The Great Muppet Caper were later released on Blu-ray as well. My Muppets Show premiered in June in 2013, and in November, as you know, the Muppets and Lady Gaga made Lady Gaga and the Muppets Holiday Spectacular. That pretty much brings us right up to 2014, which I don't need to tell you about because that's where you are right now. So I know that this show was aimed at new Muppet fans primarily, and probably didn't provide that much new information to people who have been Muppet fans for a very long time. I apologize for this, and I will try and do a show for the diehard Muppet fans who have been big Muppet fans for a very, very long time, but this just seemed like a good show to do right now to celebrate 10 years of Disney owning the Muppets and actually doing some pretty cool stuff with them. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Disney. And now, the closing clips.
Where my brain should be, there's a cavity.
Where most folks have hearts, I've got old spare parts.
Now I'm on my own in the great unknown.
And it's more than one person can bear.
Bear?
Ah, where?
Well, now I've got some smart new partners who can help me think things through. Folks say I'm just a hick on a stick. Well, that may be true.
See's true.
But when my stuffing's not enough, I know just what I should do, la-dee-doo. See, I don't miss the brains I'm missing when I'm with you.
I used to be romance compatible. I wrote sonnets and waltzes and more. But now that my heart is mechanical, it only beats four on the floor.
Ah, nice!
But you've got friends to stand beside you, and we'll reboot your old CPU.
Wow!
I don't miss the heart I'm missing when I'm with you.
I wish my stage fright weren't so terrible. My jokes never garner a roar.
With us, you can try new material.
You see, that's what friends are for.
Now you can sleep without a night-night and forget every...
Creep, bang, and boo!
Hey! I don't miss the spine I'm missing when I'm with...
Still think not something. So let's all get up and go.
We'll overachieve.
Wear our hearts on our sleeves.
Get on with the show.
Now we are in the right direction, and I see all our dreams coming true.
Yes, anything is possible when I'm with you.
I'm just so sexy.
Wow, a shrimp that shimmies.
All right, it's unfloppable.
Troubles are hoppable.
It's all so logical.
Morning.
Oh, hi, Kermit.
Ba-dum-bum-bum.
Muppets for 30 years. Why would I start now?
Right.